The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everybody, here we are on the floor of San Diego Comic-Con with Sherilyn Kenyon. She is about to release her latest book, At Death's Door, in about 44 days, if I saw the countdown on the website right. I saw it last night. It was at 45. That makes it 44. Yeah. It's all become one giant day at this point. Her latest book, At Death's Door, which is just another puzzle piece in her ever-increasing, like, body of work. Sherilyn, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm fine. I didn't trip over a pothole, so it's been really, really good.
So, the first thing I want to ask is, can you tell us a little bit about At Death's Door and how it fits into, like, this greater body of work, this amazing, like, storytelling tapestry that you're creating?
Oh, bless you. Where do I write the check out to? It wraps up the Dead Man's Cross... everything's got dead in the title. The Dead Man's Cross trilogy. So I hated to say goodbye. I was asking, you know, at the end of it, because why we have the long Dark Hunter world and universe. I hate to ever leave characters behind. I'm like, can we do another book? No, you promised it's a trilogy. So it wraps up the trilogy. We say goodbye to some of the characters. Maybe they'll be, you know me, they're probably going to appear in later books. But I get to go a little deeper into the Caribbean lore. So we're looking at the Loas this time. I brought in Nebo, who has appeared in a couple of the earlier, or the first two books. And then this one focuses on Belinda, who we had a cliffhanger in the last book, so we start right where that one finished, so the fans don't come and haunt me and what happened? You left us. So yeah,
that definitely sounds like a fan reaction. Yeah, like there's 5 minutes of missing space. What happened in the 5 minutes? So, you have like this massive body of work with like a lot of different kind of storylines and themes that all intertwine with each other. For somebody that's intimidated by the body of work, what's a really good jumping off point for them?
Well, the one thing that I try to do with every book is if you've missed an earlier book, you won't, you know, any of them really, you can jump right in. You know, because you take something like Asheron goes back, which is, you know, book eight or nine, or even Styx, which is, I think, book 20, 22, where they go back before the series even begins, and they cover, you know, the big, huge expanse of the series. Or, you know, in The League, I do it with, like, Born of Defiance goes back before the first book even begins in the series. So, basically, you could pick up anywhere, or Dragon's Rising, where it's a trilogy within Dark Hunter, or The Dead Man's Cross. So, we do have these little niches with the books, so you'll be safe anywhere. But if you're like my brother and you're completely OCD, I have to start with book one, then, you know, on the website you can go and look, like Night Pleasures is the first one for Dark Hunter. We have for League, it's Born of Night. For Chronicles of Nick, it's Infinity. So we do have book one, but you'd be safe anywhere.
That's awesome. So I was on your website. I was looking at the information for At Death's Door, which I'm super excited to read. I haven't had a chance to do it because we get inundated with so much stuff before the convention. But I saw that you make playlists for like each, you know, book. I assume like maybe as you're writing it or, you know, right before it releases. Tell us a little bit about how you create the playlists and where those come from.
Well, my older brother was a DJ, and I was a DJ for many years. So it just, and I used to do a lot of my early work up in the music studios. So before I can even start a book, I have to have the playlist in my head. And I sit there, and as I'm writing, that is the playlist that I'm listening to. And when the fans found that out, they were like, well, we want to know what music you're listening to while you're writing the book. Okay, so I started putting it years and years ago on the web for them.
That's awesome. Like, it's always neat to get that, like, little bit of insight into, like, the artist's creative process and, like, where they're coming from, like, when they write. And I don't know. I always love that. I'm always a big fan of playlists because I know when I spend time doing my stuff, I'm always jamming something, oh, yeah. Usually something horribly inappropriate. But
Mom, turn it down. Backwards. You know, my favorite was one time my son comes down, he's like, Mom, I'm hearing girls just want to have fun. It's like, I looked at him and went, that's not my music. Yeah, I listen to Godsmack and Five Finger Death Punch. I'm like, why are you coming to me? It's like, my ex-husband was playing. He's like, because he only listens to you. If I tell him to turn it down, he won't do anything. So you got to go yell at him. I'm like, okay.
So you have had a very eventful year. Like, you know, I don't want to obviously make you rehash any of that, but you posted a very long post about, you know, why there were some delays in your books and things like that. Does that kind of stress and like craziness just become fodder for the novels going forward?
No, I mean, you know, life is stressful. As my mother said, life's not for the meek, you know. No. No, I mean, really, as long as my kids are healthy, everything's good, so.
That's awesome. I was reading, and I was like, wow, that almost seems like the plot of a crazy book.
Nobody would believe it. No, my whole life has been like that from day one. You know, everybody, I want to read your story. Why? You would never believe it. If I started at birth, my mother used to tell the story. I was born breech because I literally had my feet on each side of her cervix going, no, I'm not coming out. And I was 2 weeks late, which is why she cursed me with my name. My mother's like, that's 36 hours of labor. I got you back with a name they can't spell or pronounce. Yeah, thank you, Ma. Thank you.
I was cursed with that just because I'm Hispanic and Catholic. So,
brother, I feel your pain. Yeah, no.
So with At Death's Door coming out and like the wrapping up of this series, like what are you most excited for people's reactions with this particular series and with this trilogy?
I hope they like it. At least it's not as thick as the book won't be as thick as Ash. So if they throw it at me and because they hated it, it won't hurt. So
I don't think they're gonna hate it. You have a very. The word I want to use is rabid, but that seems a little intense. But you,
no, please be right. I love you guys. Yes, yes, no.
So your fan base is like very engaged. Like you have a lot of people that really, truly love you and like love the work that you do. How does it feel when you release a book and get that enormous amount of positive feedback?
Oh, it's wonderful. I want them to always feel that way. You know, I never want to lose a fan. So, yeah, it's great.
Do you ever feel like you get pigeonholed as you're writing to like serve the fans, or are you just like I do what I do?
Well, I'm pigeonholed to love the characters. I serve the characters. I am their slave. So really, I love the fans. But if I sat there and I worried about what the fans were thinking while I was writing, I'd never get a word written because you can't. Sadly, you can't please everybody. Everybody has their favorite book. You know, and I love you guys. I hate that you can't love them all equally, because I do. You know, they're my children. I could never pick one. So I try to please every fan, but, you know, I hate it. Nothing hurts worse than have a fan come up and go, you know that last book? Yeah. No, please tell me you loved it. So, yeah.
I think that's all creators. Like every episode of the show we make, when somebody says something negative, I'm like, but we're friends.
Right? It's like, oh my God, just here's the heart, stab me. Oh God. Oh.
So how will people be able to find your book and find you and also look forward? Cause you have even more projects in the works. Like how do people find you?
Well, you can always go to mysherilyn.com. That's our website. I try to keep that thing up to date, but I'm, you know, one person. I do need to sleep at least 2 to 3 hours a night. You know, I know, yeah. The gremlins that write my book. But, the other place is Facebook. That's usually a little more current, but yeah.
That's awesome. And what other projects can we look forward to that are coming up on top of At Death's Door?
The next one is Queen of All Shadows, which is the next Dark Hunter book. I started Xander, like, gosh, what, high school? I finally get to tell it. He was supposed to come out years ago as one of the first Dark Hunter books. And I was in the middle of polishing it off when suddenly, you know, oh, who was it, Ren or one of the real early books came up and said, no, no. And I had, you know, they had already done the publicity for it and they had to stop it. My editor's not real happy with me, yeah. But luckily forgave me. So,
you know, it's interesting. You hear authors talk about how, like, the story dictates itself to you almost. And, you know, I spent quite a while writing a couple novels that, you know, never went anywhere. But I wrote them, and I'm really proud of that. And I never understood that statement until I started writing. And it's really interesting how an idea catches you, and you're just like, I got to do this. I can't do something else. Like, are there moments that of inspiration that you really remember that, like, stick out for you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, in the League series, I was writing Born of Betrayal when all of a sudden Talin came in and he said, no, you got to tell mine first. And I realized that had I written Born of Betrayal, there'd have been so many spoilers for his book. So I literally had to stop halfway through, go back and write that one. So, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I was about to wrap up, and I was like, oh, I got to know about that. Well, Sherilyn, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. I'm really enjoying your books. I'm very far behind because I'm doing this awesome thing. There's an app that comes out of my library called Hoopla that has a ton of your books as audiobooks, so I'm able to, like, listen to them at work, and it's been unbelievably pleasurable. Thank you so much, and thank you for your time.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's been great.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast, Barron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barron Space production.